Ready to go.
Okay.
Good morning, Rabbi Sai, and our limud of halacha every day is as a schus refuah for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, shtav refuah shlema b'korach b'soich shal chayli Yisrael.
Amen.
So we've obviously Yom Tov is over, and we have a little bit of a break between now and when we start learning the halachas of the 3 weeks. So we're filling in with some halachas that we often learn from a sefer called Shmiras Haguf Nefesh. It was it's written by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Lerner, who's one of our speakers who come when he comes to London from Eretz Yisrael. He speaks here in Torah Way. And he told me he's just in the middle of publishing a new edition, which is twice the thickness, got 360 extra pages or something like that. The first time that I came across the Sefer was when Rabbi Tugendhat gave his first shiur here, and the title of the shiur was, "If a Lady Drinks Havdalah Wine, Will She Grow a Beard?" And the subject was discussed here in the Sefer. If I remember rightly, what he said was that she won't grow a beard, but where did the mistake come from? In other words, where were the Divrei Chazal that led to the mistake of people thinking that if a lady, because there are ladies who would live on their own, we had a shiur recently that they can't hear Havdalah over the phone, and therefore they have to make Havdalah for themselves, can they drink the wine? Okay, that was then. What we're going to speak about today in the next few days, it's no yet to Shabbos as well, is Noyagin Lechasois Hasakin B'Shaas Birchas HaMozoin, that there is a custom to cover. Now there are two minhogim. There's one custom which we'll discuss now, which one custom is to cover the knife, and there's another custom which is to remove the knife completely from the table during Birchas HaMozoin.
Another custom Shabbos is
And Shabbos, again, we'll discuss whether there's a difference between Chol and Shabbos. It depends on what the reason for this minhag is. But it's actually brought down, it's not just a minhag, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Pei Siv Hey. Sorry,
Yitzchak? Something to have a knife with a blade bends in.
Yes. You could buy, you know, Lichvoid Shabbos V'yontov, what looks like a large penknife. A very large penknife, and the idea then again is that one can fold it closed for benching. If you've got it on the table, then you can fold it closed for benching. But the question is, why are we going to remove or cover the knife in the first place?
Not just a bread knife, or all the knives on the table.
Pardon? Again? All going to be discussed. We just opened the subject, okay? And I can see already he wants to know all the knives, some of the knives, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol, etc. Pardon? Folding knives, unfolding knives, sharp knives, serrated knives, etc. Let's see. Yeah. So he says, "V'yesh machmirin." So we said that there's a minute to cut, cover the knife. "V'yesh machmirin gam lahoyu dasaki me'ashulchon." Yeah, that he brings down b'shem the Arizal and the Kafachaim, which sounds like from the sources that we're talking about in Yonim Alpi Kabbalah to actually remove the knife completely from the table, not to leave it on the table and cover it over. "V'yesh armim," and some say, and I'm sure you'll be all relieved to hear this, "debizmanenu loy noyagin kein." That bizmanenu, it's not the custom to do so. I.e., all he's saying is the custom to cover the knife is still there. Bizmanenu, it's not the custom to remove the knife. Okay. So, question is, where does the Shulchan Aruch come from? Where is it coming from? There are two main sources as to the reason for removing the knife. The first source is, and it's the main source, although most people remember the second one. The first main source, or the main reason that's brought down for covering or removing the knife, is because the Pasuk says, Lo yisonif aleihem barzel, that the stones of the Mizbeach were not allowed to be cut with a blade. Alpides, there was a shomer at the time of the binyan of the Mishkan, etc., etc. But the Torah says quite clearly that a knife is used, or a blade is used, or a sword is used in order to kill people, in order to murder people, in order to kill people, to execute people. Masha'ekein, the mizbeach is there in order to save lives, in order to prolong life, and therefore the blade is the antithesis of the mizbeach. And we all know that our shulchan, that the shulchan of a person, zeh ha-shulchan asher lifnei Hashem, that a shulchan is compared to a mizbeach. And therefore the idea is that one shouldn't have the knife on the table, because the table is like the shulchan, and the knife doesn't belong to the table. In which case, according to that, we shouldn't have any knives on the table ever. Never mind just during benching. So they say, no, it's because during benching we remember the Beis HaMikdash specifically. Rachim na'ashem l'keinah yisrael amecho v'al yushlai mirecho. So during that period, that's one reason. The other reason, again, our time's up, but just to give you the flavor of it, is that the Gemara brings down a story of a chosid echot who was so distressed when he said, Rachim no Hashem elokeinu al Yisrael amecho, and he remembered Churban Abayis, that he picked up the knife and stabbed himself. And therefore, Chazal said, in order to make sure, hopefully, we all feel so distressed, and we're all mechaven irachem no, that we're terribly distressed about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore there is a risk, and Mishum Sakono, they said, remove the knife from the table or cover it over. We'll discuss this further, Yom Hashem, next week.
Start to the Turway Northwest, London, Friday, Yud 7, 6th of June, Rein Harav, Rabbi Kiva Rosenblatt, Shlita, Shalom Bias, does the end justify the means? This week's Torah is sponsored in Ishmael. Rav Yosef Deva Mesha, Hashem Yimkem Domo. Cheryl Basha Bas, Rav Yosef, Hashem Yimkem Domo. Chana Blumer Bas, Rav Yosef, Hashem Yimkem Domo. The outside is on Tesvot 7. And for Nishmael, Shalomis Bas, Rav Yehuda Leib, Olei HaSholem, the outside is on 28th of 7. The Sos HaShulim HaChayolim HaMilchamo, Shachzu Levotayim L'Sholom B'mheiro.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. First of all, a public apology for my no-show 2 weeks ago. I apologize. I was unwell, but Baruch Hashem, I'm back. I'm here.
Double.
Yeah, double, exactly. We'll finish at 9 this morning. 9:30, maybe. Also, big cover for me that my shver has joined us all the way from Manchester this morning. Heard I was speaking on Friday morning, came all the way here to listen to me, so thank you for joining us. So last week, we started Bamidbar last week, and Bamidbar begins very simply. Bamidbar begins, the Book of Numbers, talks about the counting of Klal Yisrael and the responsibilities of Shevet Levi. And then we come to Parashas Nosoi, and things get quite tricky. It's hard to find, if you go through Parashas Nosoi properly, it's hard to find a theme in the parasha. It seems at first glance somewhat random. The parasha begins with Gershon and Kehas. It continues with a very short section on the Shiluach, sending out the Metzora and the Zav and the Tomei Mace. It talks about Gezel HaGer, Chemish Vahashem, continues to talk about Saita and Nozir, Berkas Kaihanim, and then ends with the Chanukah Samizbeach, the Korbanos and the Siyam. That doesn't seem to have any connection to each other. It's hard to find one theme throughout the parasha. Rav Shimshon Frohl Hirsch, though, shares a beautiful idea, which at least gives some insight into the beginning few parashias of Nosoi. And that is, Nosoi after Gershon and Kohaz, after it finishes with Shevet Levi, Nosoi throws in, Parashas Nosoi tells us, that you have to send out of the Machaneh three people. There are three people that must be sent out of the camp. And it lists them, and it says the three people need to be sent out. Tzavos b'nei Yisrael v'yishalchem en ha-machaneh, three people called Tzorua v'chol Zov v'chol Tomei le-nefesh. You have to send out a Metzora, you have to send out a Zov, and you have to send out somebody who's Tomei Mace. By the way, these people get sent out from three different camps. Metzora is sent out from Machaneh Yisrael, a Zov is sent out from Machaneh Levi, and the worst, the Tomei Mace, is sent out from Machaneh Kehuna. And then the parasha continues and tells us three other sections, three other halachas. Tells us the section of Chaimesh Va'asham, specifically with Gezel HaGer as well. If one steals from the Ger and there's no Yerushim to repay after the Ger has passed away, what does one do? It speaks about the parasha of Saita, and it speaks about the parasha of Nozir. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch explains beautifully that the opener, which is the Vishalchem and Amachna called Tzorah V'chol Zov called Tomei le-Nefesh, corresponds to each of these three following parashas. Why? He says, well, first of all, the Metzora represents Hashem's intimate involvement, Hashem's presence in Klal Yisrael as a society, that Hashem deeply cares about the way we treat each other, and that's the Metzora. The Metzora gets sent out of the camp, and that corresponds to the parasha of Gezel HaGer. The way we treat each other, the ultimate gezel, almost, is being stealing from somebody in a way that it's impossible to repay them back, and that is the first of the three that get sent out of the camp, which shows us Hashem's presence in the nation, in society. The next one, which is the Zov, that is Hashem's involvement, Hashem's presence in family life in Klal Yisrael. And that corresponds to the Parasha of Seder, which is all about the importance of Hashem's presence and Kedusha within family life. And that is, of course, as we know, the Zov. As well, which gets sent out Machane Leviel. And thirdly, he points out that the Tamei Meis, that represents the Hashem's involvement in each of our individual and personal lives, Hashem's presence in the individual lives, and that corresponds to the Nazir, who takes upon himself to have a deeper and more a closer connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom in his own individual life. So he opens and says that those three people that sent out the camp is actually an introduction to the next three parishes the Torah talks about, which is the Gedol Hager, Soter, and Tomei, and Nozir. The parasha does continue, and there's more that happens in this week's parasha. There's Birkas Kehanim, and then there's, as we know, the Chanukah Samizbeach. Perhaps there's a greater theme going on over here. I was just thinking to myself, once one appreciates all of this, Hashem's intimate involvement, number one, with Klal Yisrael as a whole, number two, within our own family lives, number three, within us as individuals, that's when the bracha is able to latch onto us as Klal Yisrael, and eventually that's when there's Hashoras HaShchina that can take place as well, meaning there's a thread that's taking place in these parasha, really, essentially, all about Shalom, all about peace between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shalom in different ways. But I wanted to specifically focus this morning on a fascinating sugya, a halacha lemaisa sugya, actually, that emerges from one of the details in the parasha of Seder. As we know, the process of Saita, the process that Saita must go through to prove her innocence, there's a whole
procedure
that she has to go through. And one of the parts of that procedure is that the Kayan is Mashpia, the issue of the Kayan makes her swear, makes a shvua that she was not Mezaneh. Not only that, but that shvua, which is a few psukim, the Torah says, write those psukim down, basefer, and you put the sefer in the mehamarim, you put the sefer in the bitter waters, as Rashi says, al-shem sefer, that eventually they will cause bitterness if she was indeed mezana. And then she drinks the waters, and as we know, the rest is common knowledge. However, what's clear immediately from the parasha is that there's something interesting going on, and that is, if you look carefully at the psukim, Hashem's name is written there. Not once. I think it might be twice. I think it's twice. Hashem's name is in the Shavua that the Soter has to make, in which the Kohen eventually writes down. The Psukim, which we're familiar with, read as follows. Vishpiyas HaKohen is the Isha B'Shavua HaSa'olav Omer HaKohen Isha Yitain Hashem Oyscha La'ola V'Lishvua B'Seich HaMeich B'Seis Hashem Es Yireichich Nefeles V'Spitnik T'Tavah. And the Isha Omra Isha, I'm skipping Omra Amen, the Kosav is Allah Sayyidah Kayan Besefer Mochas Umacha El Mehamar. He writes these down, and these psukim, which has Shem Hashem on them, gets destroyed in the waters. And the question is, why? Why is the Torah not just allowing you to be Meichik Shem Hashem, but the Torah is commanding you to be Meichik Shem Hashem? How is this possible? How is that allowed? So, of course, we know this Klalim of Asei, Deichalos Asei in general, but here, the Chazal say specifically with Saitama, there's a reason. There's a reason why the Torah is relaxed with being Meichik Shem Hashem. And the Bavli talks about it as well. We'll come to the Bavli, but the Yerushalmi brings us through the story that the Yerushalmi brings down, kind of shares this in a more explicit way. The Yerushalmi has a fascinating story of a woman who Yerushalmi and Seder, Perik Aleph Halacha Dalet, of a woman that comes home late Friday night to her husband, and her husband's irate. He says, "Where were you?" She says, "Well, I was in a shir. I went to a shir, and the shir was given by none other than Reb Meir. And the shir went late, or it went overtime, I don't know exactly what, and here I am." And the husband, unforgiving husband, says to his wife, I will not calm down until you go and spit in the face of the Magid shir, who's Reb Meir." Wild concept, but that's what he tells her to do. Rav Meir, the Gemara tells us, sees Baruch HaKadosh, that this is going on. And in a genius way, announces and says, I have an issue with my eyes. And I know that the only way that this issue can be healed, the only way I can get healed from this is if a woman spits in my eye. And he kind of calls out and says, is anybody out there who can help me? He gets this woman and she comes and doesn't tell her, he tells her to spit 7 times in his eye. And he says, go back and tell your husband, you told me to spit once in the Magich's face, I've done it 7 times. And that will calm him down. The Talmidim are astounded. The Talmidim look and Omrele Talmidov and they say, Rav Meir, you know, how can you be, their Lashon is, it's a complete bezayon hatorah. You know, forget your own covered, but the bezayon hatorah over here, it's outrageous. So he says the following, and he says, how can the covered of Rav Meir be worse or be more important than the covered kainai? Uma im shem hakodesh shenichtav bekedusha. If already the shem Hashem, which is nichtav bekedusha. Omar Akosov Shayim Khala Mayim Bishvila Hazel Shalom bin Ishtli Ishtoi. The Pasuk tells us that you'd be Moichek Shem Hashem to be Masal Shalom bin Ishtli Ishtoi. Covered Meir like Kol Shekain. The covered of Meir like Kol Shekain is Kal V'Chaim. If Hashem is willing to be Moichel on his covered for Shalom Bayis, then even more so, Kal V'Chaim, the covered of Rav Meir, we should be Moichel on for covered Bayis. And that was his response to the Talmidim. So you see the Rishalmi says, why are we Moichel Shem Hashem? Why is Hashem allowing his own name to be destroyed? Lahatul Shalom Bein Ish Le'ishto. You could be over on the Isser of being Meichek Shem Hashem for Shalom Bayis. Okay. Well, what's fascinating is that there's a whole sugya that emerges from this din in Parasha Soita, and the Rishonim and the Poskim also deal with how far does this heter go for Shalom Bayis. Clearly the Torah is being relaxed with one of the great historians of the Torah for Shalom Bayis. Does this extend to any other areas where one can be over Isurim for the sake of Shalom Bayis? And the Rishonim who addressed this, first and foremost, is, well, Tshuvas HaRashba. The same thing is said by the Modcha B'Shem Reb Haigon, and that's important to know because you'll see that when it gets discussed, it's discussed as the Chitta of Reb Haigon. But the Rashba is the one that we have. And he's asked the following shaila, and that is, what happens if somebody makes a shavua to be megarish their wife? In a moment of anger, he's furious, and he makes a shavua, that's it. It's all over. The marriage is done. I make a shavua that I'm going to divorce you. And of course, he calms down, he settles down, and he regrets it. And the shaila comes to the Rashba as to whether he's allowed to be over the Shavua to keep his marriage. There's no way of being mevatel. There's no way of being mefer a Shavua. Neither you can deal with the Shavua. Once you've made a Shavua, that's it. It's all over. There's nothing to be done. Can he be over on the Shavua to save the marriage? So the Rashba says, you are chayev to keep your Shavua and to be megarish your wife. The Rashba says, no, absolutely, in no uncertain terms, there is no way that you can be over the Shavua to keep the marriage. You have to be Megarisha. I, says the Rashba, V'ikasha, if you're going to ask me, it says clearly by Saita that she can be Meichek Shem Hashem, that you can be Meichek Shem Hashem, Losim Shalem Bein Ish Le'ishtai. Says the Rashba, listen carefully, because we're going to have to address what exactly he means. Holei Kasha, says the Rashba, that's no Kasha, it's different. It's Cholok. The din of Saita is Cholok from the din of being over on a Shavua for Shalom Bayis. Why? Because there, Hosom Lohotzi Midei Sofek Umidei Yisura. There, the reason why the Torah allows you to be Mechik Shem Hashem is Lohotzi Midei Sofek, to take oneself out of a matzav of Sofek, of doubt, Umidei Yisura, and from an Issa that's over there. There's an Issa between husband and wife, which the Torah is allowing you to be Mechik Shem Hashem, to relax the Sofek and to relax the Issa. Aval Hocha, over here, Milsa Omar Achmana, the Torah says, do not, loisisa, Shem Hashem, don't make a false Shavua, and therefore there is no way out. You can't make a false Shavua. There it's Lahasira Safik, there it's Lahitimide Safik Mide Surah, over here it's a Shavua, You can't be over on the Shavuot. It's not so easy, and we're going to see soon what the Rashba means. What does the Rashba mean? What is the yes? It's a machalek. Yes, he tells us there. There's a sofik and there's an issa, and here there's a Shavuot. But he doesn't really explain. It's hard to understand what the Rashba means by what's the difference. What is the difference? Why can you be meichik shem Hashem and you can't be? You can't make a Shavuot sheker for Shalom Bayis. So the Ramah. The Chuvas Ramah. By the way, the Rashba quotes the Bahag who says this is allowed. So the Bahag tells us you're allowed to be over on a Shavuot for Shalom Bayis. The Rashba says, no, I disagree. No way. There's no way. Ah, you have Saita, so this is the answer that he gives. The Hoitimi De Sofik is fine, but not when it comes to the Shavuot. Chuvas Ramah and Simon Kuf. The Shoyal over there asks the Ramah that L'chaira, this Rashba, let's call him Reb Haigon because he's the same Shitta. How is Reb Haigon not a stira to an Ofna Gemara? Reb Haigon tells us that you're not allowed to be over on a Shavuot for Shalom Bayis. L'chaira is a stira to a Gemara that most of us are quite familiar with. And that is a Gemara, Makkos in Daf Yud Aleph, also Gemara in Sukkah Nun Gimel. But the Gemara tells us a Maisa with David HaMelech. David HaMelech is digging a drainage system, drain pipes in the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. They're digging down. David couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash, but clearly he had some involvement with the foundations and at least the drain pipes in the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. And Ayin Shom in the Sugyas to why this happens, but all of a sudden the waters begin to rise and they threaten to flood the whole world. There is an absolute crisis that takes place as they're digging these drain pipes. And David HaMelech knows that the way the waters would subside is by writing down the Shem Hashem on a cheres. Why cheres? I think Rashi says because it will sink all the way down. And now that's going to sort things out. But he wasn't sure whether that's allowed. He wasn't sure. David HaMelech throws out there a shayla. You know, is it mutter to write Shem Hashem down to protect us all from utter destruction and to protect us from a flood. So Achitofel, David HaMelech's Rebbe, responds and he says the following Lashon, which is brought down in the Bavli, Uma, similar to the Rishalmi, Uma lase shalom ben ish le'ishto yamor Torah, shemi, shenichta b'kedusha yimcha l'mayim, if already lahatil shalom ben ish le'ishto, the Torah says you can write down Hashem's name for shalom, Lasei shalom lechol ha'olam kulay alachas kama v'kama, to make shalom in the whole world, kal v'chaimer, you should be allowed to be meichik shem Hashem. David HaMelech does so, the waters subside, shalom al Yisrael, shalom in the whole world. So the Shoyal asks the Ramah, what do you mean? The Rashba just told us, or let's say the Reb Haigon just told us, that you're not allowed to, that's a special heter by Saita. Why? Because the Lashon, once again, is lohaitzi midei safik midei surah. The reason why the Torah allows it by Saita is midei safik midei surah. Over here, you don't have that. Yes, you have a nice kal v'chaimer, but you don't have, it's not the same as Saita. There's no safik and there's no isura, which you are looking to resolve through being mochik shem Hashem. So who says that you're allowed to do that? And therefore, how is this not a stira to what the Reb Haigon and the Rashba just told us?
Sorry.
Yes?
It wasn't the case of David HaMelech, pikuach nefesh for the entire world.
So if that's the case, then the whole Gemara is strange. Yeah. Why is the Gemara
no husband, asked that? I mean, no husbands, no wives.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. And that's a kasha stam on the sugya. Yeah. Well, why is David HaMelech even wondering about this? It's not one of the Gimel Averos Chamuros. So just do it. Exactly. Just do it. So yeah, I'm not sure about that. I didn't want to address that because it's kind of off this topic. But yeah, it's a good kasha on the Gemara. So the Ramah, again, is addressing this question, and he answers the following. He says, this is Pshat in the Rashba. He has a totally different Pshat in the Rashba. And he says, and to the way that we understood until now, although we didn't quite understand the Rashba until now, but here's what he says. He says that what the Rashba means is as follows, and that is that if you take a closer look at the Isser of being Moichek Shem Hashem, it's actually fascinating where the Torah actually never tells us black and white not to be Moichek Shem Hashem. It tells us a whole string of things that one must do for Avodah Zarah. It's in Parashas Re'eh, a parasha that we're on holiday for, so we're not always there the chance to learn properly. But in Perik Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud, Perik Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel and Dalet, the Pasuk says as follows: V'nitatzdem es mizbechosam, you shall uproot or smash, destroy their mizbech. Thank you, helping with the words this morning. Thank you. Their mizbech, v'shibartim matzeivoysom, and you smash their matzeivoys, v'asherintes from ve'esh, and so on and so forth. And finally, the pasuk says, v'ibadetem es shemam, and you shall destroy the names menamokem ahu. V'ibadetem es shemam, the shame of avodah zarah. Get rid of it. Totally annihilate it. Menamokem ahu. Then the pasuk carries on and says, lois asin kein Hashem nekechem. All these things that I just told you to do for avodah zarah, don't do to Hashem your God. And we learn from there, the Torah, it's explicit, but it's said in almost like Michlal Lavatish, kind of. The Torah says, whatever I just told you to do to Avodah Zarah, don't do for Hashem. Says the Ramah, and this is Pshat in the Rashba, that when the Torah tells us not to be Meichik Shem Hashem, what is it telling us? It's saying, don't be destructive with the Shem Hashem. When you're being Meichik Shem Hashem, don't cause destruction via being Meichik Shem Hashem. The Torah does not want destruction, Chas V'Shalom, to happen through being Meichik Shem Hashem, which is generally what happens. When someone is Chas V'Shalom, Meichik Shem Hashem, especially B'mezid, it's destructive. It's terrible. Avla. However, when the purpose behind your destruction of Shem Hashem is to create a tikkun, when the person behind the purpose behind being Meichik Shem Hashem is not to cause destruction, but to cause tikkun, to build, there's no love. There's no issa there. The issa doesn't even get off the ground. Meaning, it's almost a tamad dekra. Saying the Torah only tells me not to be meichik Shem Hashem when it's in a destructive manner. When I'm causing a tikkun through destroying Shem Hashem, that's why there it wouldn't be asa to do so. And he says, if you go back to the Lashon HaRashba, that's what he means. Because the Rashba says, Hasam by me mechik Shem Hashem for Shalom Bais, that is lohaitzi midei safik umidei surah. The purpose behind me mechik Shem Hashem is lohaitzi midei safik umidei surah. Therefore, not that there's a special heter to be over the love of being mechik Shem Hashem for Shalom Bais. There's no love in the first place. Because it's for Shalom Bais, because it's lohaitzi midei safik, because it's to get rid of Issa, therefore, there's no love in the first place, and that's why it's allowed. Masha Enke and any other Issa, you don't have that caveat. Any other Issa, you don't have that special heter to be able to do that when it's for a tikkun. So it's a specific din by Meichik Shem Hashem, because the Torah only asks it when it's done in an oifen of kilkul, not when it's done in an oifen of tikkun. Interestingly, the Avnei Nezer brings down, he tells to the Maharal. The Maharal in Nesivas Olam, Nesiv HaShalem, it's all about Shalem. It's pages and pages on Shalem over there, which the Medrash in this week's parasha also does. Talks all about Shalem. The Maharal says, I took a picture of the Maharal, I didn't have it printed. The Maharal's Loshen is, and again, he's not coming in the context of what we just discussed, but he's sharing this as well. He says, Levigach Omra Torah Sheyimcha Hashem Al Hamayim Lasseis Hashalim. Why? Ki Mechikas Hashem Hu Bishvil Shemoy Shel Hashem Yisbarach Shehu Shalom. One of the Shemoys of Hashem is Shalom, and therefore V'dov Zeh Mevurek Ki Zeh Nikra Shehu Mechik Hashem Kedei Lekayim Hashem. Your end result is more Shalom. So you can be Mechik Shem Hashem in order to be Mekayim Shem Hashem, which in and of itself is Shalom. He takes it almost like a step further. He's saying, when you're Mechik Shem Hashem, which is Shalom, for the sake of Shalom, then your end result is more Shalom. In which case, you've never really been Mechik Shalom. An interesting kind of connection to what the Ramah is saying. They're not really speaking about the same thing, but it's the same concept. So far what we have is, the Ramah tells us, Pshat, the Rashba is that you can't be Mechik Shem Hashem you can be Meichik Shem Hashem because there's no Issa to be Meichik Shem Hashem when it's done for the sake of Tikkun. When it's done for the sake of Tikkun, there is no Issa Bechlal. Doesn't stop there. And the Ramah, by the way, ends off and says, Emes, he says, this is Emes V'yatziv. This is as clear as gold. Good as gold. The Ramah, however, has another tshuva. And the Ramah, that's tshuva in Simon Kuf. The Ramah in Simon Yud Aleph, Paskins Lahalocha, it's a fascinating story. It's hard to understand exactly what the details behind the story are, but it seemed as if what happened was, and this is coming to the Ramah after the fact, there was a major machlokas, an upheaval going on in one of the kehillas. And what they knew that the way to end the machlokas, the way to end this terrible state, was to be Moitzi Shemra on somebody within the kehillah. So they picked on one guy. I'm not sure why it was him. Maybe he was one of the troublemakers. I don't know. but they were Moisi Shemras. They made something out. They slandered this fellow, and by doing so, they saved the whole town from Machlokas. They saved the whole town from utter kind of chaos, destruction. So the Ramaz asked, "Was this okay? Were we allowed to do this? Were you allowed to be Moisi Shemra, throw somebody under the bus, basically, for Shalom?" And the Ramaz says, and he quotes our sugya, and he quotes what's going on over here, and he says, "Yeah, of course you can. Why? Because it's a whole arichas over there in Simon Yolof." But he says, "It's a kal v'chayma. The Torah tells us that to lahatzel shalem ben ishle ishtoi, you can be moichik shem Hashem." He says here, the lashon of Ramah in Simon Yolof, is that here, ve'im ba'ahavas shalem ben ishle ishtoi kach, al achas kama v'kama, Havo Hashalom Shabein Mishpacha Ve'ir V'krach. If you can be matzel, to be matzel Shalom, you make Shem Hashem. Then Alachas Kama V'Kama. If it's for a family, if it's for a village, if it's for a city, of course you could be over other Isurim. Now we're not talking about Mechik Shem Hashem. If we're talking about the Isur of Moisi Shemra, the Isur which is a grave Isur of Moisi Shemra, says the Ramon, no, that's okay. You could be over on the Isur of Moisi Shemra to bring Shalom to the town. Now, firstly, as we unpack this Ramah, firstly, this doesn't seem to match with the Ramah, what the Ramah himself just told us in Simon Kuf, and that is, it's a unique din by being Mechik Shem Hashem, because there's no Isser in the first place, which is not the biggest deal, because there the Ramah is trying to be Miyashiv Shittas HaRashba. Here in Simon Yudalef, it could be this is the Ramah's own Shittas Chelek on the Rashbi Paskins, like the Bahag, that it is okay, so there's no Stira in the Ramah, but it would appear from the Ramah, that he is being Mekel, that for Shalom Bayis, not just for Shalom Bayis, but for Shalom in the whole ear, one can be Moitzi Shemra for the sake of Shalom. Well, let's just take a look at a couple more things, and then we'll wrap this all up. I'm only really opening the sugi over here, I'm not really sharing everything that's to be shared. But the Shaila is brought to the Heintiger Paiskim. And you wonder, how is this Nagel? How is this concept Nagel and Maisa? Well, it is. And it comes up in a few different places as to where would you have a matzev where you'd have to be over in Issa for, let's say, specifically Shalom Bayis now. So the following Shaila is brought to the Paiskim. Seems like this Shaila was brought a few times. It seems like, unfortunately, it wasn't an uncommon occurrence. There's a woman. She's a Penuya. And she was Mazana. And she has a child. So she's Mazana, she was a Penuya, outside of marriage, she has a child. She's now Chizeres Betshuva, she gets married to a nice firm boy, who has no idea about her past. So she's had a past where she's had a child, nobody really knows about this child, no one knows about what she got up to in her past. She's married now, she's happily married to this Choshava younger man, potentially, and have a nice marriage. She falls pregnant, and Mazel Tov, they have a baby boy. There's a bris, he gets his name, Yikarish Mei Yisrael, and everything's fine, or so it seems. This child, as far as everyone is concerned, is a Bechor, and is having a Pidyon HaBen in 3 weeks' time, just over 3 weeks. But she's in a pickle. Why? Because if she tells her husband, first of all, it's going to be terribly humiliating for her. It's embarrassing. And it could even potentially affect the whole marriage. I mean, if he tells her husband about this and something that he never knew of beforehand, you never know what can happen. Why he never tell me, that's it. You know, the marriage is over. It's not just a shalom bayis, then. This is protecting the whole marriage. And the shayla the postkama asked is, are you allowed to go ahead with the pidyon haben and say a bracha levatala on the pidyon haben? There's only issue really is with the bracha levatala. Everything else, fine. You know, you can give the money to the kohen or whatever, they deal with that. But the bracha is the issue over here for the sake of shalom bayis. So if you look back at our sugya, this is where you can start to unpack. Because if you go with the Ramah, if you go with the Tshuva HaRashba, the Tshuva HaRashba says in no uncertain terms, no, this is in specifically in Mechikas Shem. But when it comes to Mechik Shem Hashem, that's why it's allowed, because it's a tikkun, it's not a kilkul. But any other Issa, for example, the one the Rashba was talking about was the Issa of... That's my thread of thought over here, but the Rashba was talking about the Issa of Shavua Sheker, no good. And over here as well, there's an Issa of Bracha Vatala, no. Rabbi Yashiv, in, it's called Sefer Ha'aris on Sukkah, it's on this Gemara which we mentioned about David Achitofel, says based off this Rashba, no way. She has to tell her husband. There's no way out, even though it's tragic, and even though it's not the answer that anybody wants. How can you make a bracha levatala? How can you make a bracha levatala for the marriage? You know, where do we find you can make a bracha levatala to save the marriage? And he paskins no good. Interestingly, Rabbi Avadya Yosef in Shut Yabia Omer, paskins lehevach. He brings the whole story. And he paskins based on other tzirufin, but he brings this as one of the tzirufin l'hakel. He says, no, what do you mean? For shalom ba'is, you see, you're allowed to be mechik shem Hashem. So therefore, also over here as well, he's allowing them to make a bracha levatala in order to save the marriage. Why? Based off this same din that we just learnt, that for shalom ba'is, you could be over on isurim, and also being over on the isur of bracha levatala.
It's same concept, but
you don't have the same. It's not learned in the same. Meaning, we learned it specifically from. It says loisasen kein l'shem lekechem. That's not where the issue of v'moitzi shem shemaim unnecessarily comes from. So there, that's an issa which we don't find. The Torah says only when it's kilkel not tikkun. Here specifically v'moichik shem Hashem. That's where we learn the whole concept of notes. Any if it's kilkul, not a tikkun. I'll just finish with this because we're over time. The Shud Maharashag, he was a rav and a posik in Hungary. He brings the same shayla. He actually doesn't go down the line of whether you're allowed to be over on Issa for Shalom Bayis, but he comes up with other ways of perhaps getting out of this situation. He says maybe you can tell the husband that she in her past had a sofik nefel. He's not sure how. The shoyl is asking, can you tell the husband that we're not sure whether you can have a pidyon haben because we think that she may have had a nefel before. And he's wondering, how is it possible that the husband wouldn't know about that? But lo yitzur, that it was possible to convince him that possibly happened. Yes, you can do that. Yes, you can lie for shalom, all that stuff is fine. He also says maybe you can tell them that her father's a sofik levi, so we've got a sofik, so we'll do the pidyon haben, but we're not going to do it with the bracha. So there's kind of clever ways of getting out of it. And lastly, I'll just conclude with, there's a shut igros maisha. He's talking about an entirely different issue over here, but anyway, he ends off in his trivia and he says, lo hitiru usurim bishvil shalom bayis. We don't find that you're able to be matir usurim for shalom bayis. However, we did see the Ramah seems to say very clearly in Simon Kuf that you can be over usurim shalom bayis. We saw Avadya Yosef was happy as well as a sniff lahakel to be over in usurim for shalom bayis. Although we see the Rabbi Yashar, the Rabbi Yashar and Rabbi Moshe weren't too happy with this. And there's more to say, but with that, I conclude. Good Shabbos.
I left one of these.
Okay, so we will leave the subject of Soto for the moment. And just prior to that, before the Parsha of Soter, there's a very pivotal pusik which speaks about Matnas Gehinna. And there the pusik says, V'ish es kedusha of lo yihiyu, ish asher yitein lakoyhein lo yiyeh, loosely translated, V'ish, and a man es kedusha of his holies, which referred to the Matnas Gehinna, well, actually refers to Bekirim, if you look in the earlier Rasha. Lo yihiyu ish asher yitein lakoyen lo yihiyeh. Whatever person gives to the kohen belongs to him. Now, there is a Pirkei de Reb Eliezer, fascinating one, beautiful one, which says a following mushal with regards to this. And it refers to a man who had a successful, prosperous business. And people framed him because the competition wanted to bring to knock him off the map. We're speaking about many years ago, and of course, the obvious thing to do was to go to the authorities and tell the people in charge that he's a tax evader and he's in a big way, and he's guilty of theft, and therefore there's nothing short of having him killed. And essentially, when he got the invitation or the summons, so to speak, from royalty, from the king himself, he knew that the game was up. And that was a very, very serious invitation, and one which he could not deal lightly with. and he was very scared of his predicament and knew that maybe he can try out of desperation to reach out to three different friends. Well, first one he thought was going to be his closest friend, and that closest friend will vouch for his integrity, for his honesty, and go to the king and say he knows him for a long time, and this perhaps will sway the day. But when he approached this friend, the friend got cold feet, told him, do you expect me to give my life for you? We'll both be hanging by a tree, just judging by the implications of what the testimony against you is. And therefore, no way am I going to go with you. And he disappeared as fast as he could. He then went to his second friend, who this friend was essentially somebody who he knew, knows him quite well, but nowhere near the intimacy and the closeness which he thought that he enjoyed with friend number one. And the second friend said to him, when he heard the whole story about how he's been framed and he's been told by the king that he has to appear, so he said, I feel really sorry for you. You know what? I'm going to bolster you. I'm going to support you. I'll go with you to the palace and I'm going to walk with you there, but I'm awfully sorry. Once we get to the palace doors, that's as far as we go. And it's as far as we take the friendship, but I can't go any further because I also have a family and a wife, and there'll be implications against me too. Finally, he went to friend number three, who he thought, you know, he has got really very little to do with. But what do you do when you're desperate? You try. So he went to the last friend, and then he said to him, look, I'm in a serious predicament. Speaking about, you know, life and death here, please go with me to the king and just vouch for me. Say, tell him that I am a man of sincerity. I've never done anything like this before, and why? And the third friend said to him, you know something, I'm really going to go with you. I know you for so many years, maybe not so well, but I can vouch for your integrity, I can vouch for your honesty, and I'll go with you to the king all the way, and I'm going to say to the king, yes, I know him, and he is definitely a man that should be treated with respect and as an honest, law-abiding citizen. And he was overwhelmed by the sudden, you know, loyalty that this man was showing him. Sukt der Heilige Pirke der Rebbeleser, this is indicative of a man who faces death of this world. He passes away, so he's got friend number one, who he's closest to. Who could that be? That's the wallet in his pocket, his money, his account, his bank balance. How much has he earned that he spent the vast proportion of his life trying to accumulate? From the morning until the evening, schwitzt ala michu, ala panuse, ala chakule, working for what purpose? Ki loy b'moiso yikach hakoil. When he finally leaves the world, not one cent and no electronic transfers up to heaven. There's no way of getting a bank to move the money. Nothing. You leave it all behind. Friend number two, or at least his family, his children, his wife, his close ones. Yeah, they'll go with him, maybe to the door of the palace, which means they'll go to the Bes Oilen, take him to Enfield, they'll take him to Har HaMeniches, and then when they finally put Zbilei Sachreis on top of him and they bury him, and the children will cry over the Kaddish, but then they turn their backs and they say, goodbye, Charlie. But unfortunately, nice knowing you, but you're going to a better world and we're not going with you, we're staying right here. And the third friend, who he really didn't note so seriously, was really the mitzvahs, the ma'asim tovim, and the Torah that he learned in this world. Because when he went out and he gave money for an almuna, which was trying to marry off a child, or he invited the poor man for breakfast who was hungry, or he gave him a scene of tzedukah with all his heart, or he sat down and he learned when he was tired. All those mitzvahs and ma'asim toivim are going to go right up to the palace, right up to the king, and they're going to vouch for him, and they're going to say, Rebbein Shloilom, Inzenem Emayet, yes, we are going to give testimony to the fact that this man is a man of integrity, is a man of sincerity. He performed in his lifetime, and these are the mitzvahs that he's done, and we are here to tell you that. Adkan Divrei Pirkei Reb Eliezer. But now it's so beautifully translated into this pusik, because Ve'ishes Kedushov Lo Yihiyu is because the man really thinks that when he gives the money away to tzedukah, that he's parting from it and he's giving something away and he's not going to see it back, because once you've given that money to the charity organization and it's passed from your credit card into their account, that's goodbye. But the truth of the matter is that it's exactly the opposite. If there's any money that is really yours, which you've really earned, and it's really belongs to you, and it's going to be there to testify you for you, the ish es kedusha of lo yihi, asher yiten lekohen, whatever he's given to the kohen, which is the matnas kehinah and the tzedukahs, they really belong to him, as is indicative of the story in the Pirkei Reb Eliezer. Good Shabbos.
Very nice.
Yeah.